right. The sounds of Jeff Beck there on Morning Drive 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Had to play one of my favorite Jeff Beck songs this morning in honor of one of the greatest guitar pioneers who passed away yesterday. I hate to say it, but some of these guys are going to start going here, and some of the big ones, some of the legends. I hate to see that, but always a big influence on a lot of people, Jeff Beck. So good to play that here on Morning Drive this morning. And it is Thursday, January 12th, in the studio live. We have Counselor-at-Large Earl Persip with us today. And Earl, always a great interview on the program. We're going to be talking about Wakona Park specifically because there was a meeting this week to further the discussion about the future of Wakona Park and the rehabilitation and what's going to happen. So I want to delve into that quite a bit. And there's some other issues that happened around the city council and things like that. Always a lot to talk about with Earl while he's here. First, let's go to the weather and see what Jacob Klein has in store for us today. There is a little bit of snow and sleet out there this morning, so if you are just getting out your door, the roads are in pretty good shape. Your deck and your stairs and your walkway may not be, so just be careful about that. Let's listen to the weather right now.
Berkshire weather.
Here is your WTBR forecast from BerkshireWeather.com for Thursday, January 12th. Greetings. Today, cloudy. A high of 39 with some rain and snow. Tonight, cloudy. A low of 38 with rain. Tomorrow, cloudy. A high of 51 with some rain. That's your latest WTBR forecast. For more weather forecasts and education, go to BerkshireWeather.com. I'm Caleb Klein for WTBR, and I hope you all have an amazing day. Cheers, everyone.
All right. Thank you, Jacob. We appreciate that. And that's been the story of this winter, it seems like, is you get a little bit of snow and some dangerous conditions for a little while, and then it just all washes away, and you get rain, and it's just been the story, right? Crazy. Oh,
yeah. Weather patterns are a lot different than they used to be, right? Yeah.
I heard a report yesterday that said that compared to the beginning of last century, the weather in this area, and you know, sort of Massachusetts level area, is more like it was in New Jersey at the beginning of the century. So our weather today, more like New Jersey, and it's going to be, you know, sort of progressing further and further south as climate change comes in, and that's a big concern.
Well, look at the storms we have. We may not have as many, and just around the world, you know, they're bigger than they ever were. So.
Yeah, and the crazy stuff going out in California right now with that tropical river just hitting storm after storm after storm, just very destructive.
Yeah, they go from a drought to a monsoon, like it's crazy the weather.
Yeah, and you know we get some weather here for sure. Nothing to that level, I don't think. I think the last time we've really experienced anything that bad in the Berkshires was, I think, Irene back in 11 or 12, somewhere in that range.
And that wasn't even as bad as like they originally predicted, if I remember correctly.
Right. And yet it's still, you know,
still washed out
some
roads.
Right. So, up in Savoy was pretty bad, and up in Vermont. So, yeah, you know, we just got to deal with it. So, Counselor at Large Earl Persip, thanks for being here this morning on Morning Drive.
Good morning. How are you?
Absolutely well, and fueling up on coffee as we speak to try.
I haven't had mine yet, so bear with me.
We're going to need a coffee maker, I think, here at WTBR. Thanks for coming in. I know I wanted to talk to you about Wakona Park.
Yeah.
Because that is an issue that, as we know, last year for the Pittsfield Suns season, any of the fans know when they went to go to the games, and quite a few of them still did. Mm-hmm. The grandstand was not usable, was basically condemned or not deemed not safe for a lot of people to be in. And, of course, the grandstand was built sometime in the 50s from what the history tells us. But it's time, right, for some sort of refurbishment.
It's time. We did a tour, and it's, you know, as a patron of the park, you know, it was kind of run down, but when you get the inner workings of the tour and you go underneath the grandstand, it was probably time 20 years ago, to be honest with you.
But shabby is one thing, right? And then unsafe is another
thing. And that's the thing. There's no, you know, underneath those grandstands, all the supports I have contact with the ground. There's no weather barrier. So, you know, it was doomed to fail at some point, especially in the Berkshires. But
And probably in the 50s when it was constructed, that's just, that was the method of construction.
Correct.
You know, I mean,
we know
forever.
A lot more now about a lot of things, and especially construction of, you know, keeping water is a very bad thing when it comes to buildings.
Yeah.
When it freezes and thaws, and same with roads and all that. Just the, but the locker rooms, and it, it was quite the experience to actually see, especially after the season, what the park looked like and kind of how it's run down and how the Suns managed to do a lot of activities. You know, I think about the concession stand. We know there's two there. Only one really works. One of the kitchens is completely shot. Doesn't, can't cook anything on it. You're just serving all kinds of cold, cold items there. And so, or bringing items from the other one. Half of the, you know, cooking there doesn't work. It's, that's got to be 20 years plus old. So there's a lot going on. There's, you know, there's very little storage. The locker rooms, I mean, one of them is as big as this studio. So
for an entire team of baseball players.
Baseball players, you know, you think the seats out in the grandstand were bad. Should see the one side inside the locker room. So, yeah, there's a lot going on there.
And you've got some difficulties, too, because obviously it's designated as a historic site, right?
It is an historic site. Yeah. So we're trying to, like, get that all worked out of, like, what is considered historic. Is it the building? And I don't think it is because it was built in the 50s.
Right.
You know, the grandstand, I don't think it was built in the 50s. But we're in contact with Mass Historic to talk about those kind of items and what we can do, what we can't do, what will jeopardize the historic marking. What is the, what does that do for us? Does it do anything for us having that designation? I do historic restoration in my day job, so I kind of have a relationship with Mass Historic already, so that's helpful. Paul Holtz out of the eastern part of the state is very involved in, you know, making sure our historic landmarks stay that way and stay historic. So Wakona Park is a little different. I think it's the location and kind of, I don't necessarily think it's the building or the grandstand itself. So we're working through those kind of details now, and we're going to move forward. And we really have three ways to go, maybe four. Four is do nothing, right? Which no one wants to do. I think everyone understands. Well,
and, it, and the prospect that once you do nothing is how long can you actually keep any team coming in and playing and then, you know, providing the kind of entertainment and also an economic driver for the city if you do nothing.
Yeah, that's correct.
Seems like an unlikely scenario.
Yeah, so then, which we were not going to not do nothing here, obviously, but that was brand new, right?
Meaning take everything
take
down.
Everything down and make brand new. And, you know, maybe that involves moving the park where it is, you know, direction of
Or orientation of the field,
orientation
for example.
Of the field. And then there's a restore, right? And then there's a hybrid option. So we're going to figure all those things out. And, you know, I, this is a project that I, you know, I volunteered to be part of the committee and then I was elected chair.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was, this is something everyone's passionate about. I don't think I've had one negative thing about doing something with Wakona Park. People may have different opinions of what should be done, but I think everyone has a passion for it to get done, something done, make this park the way we all know it and love it. So it's going to be interesting. I think we're part off to a good start.
Part of this has got to be a fact-finding mission, and obviously you're well into that now.
Yeah.
The types of things you've already done to look at the condition and to see why you know, it's in the state that it's it, that it's in. But then also, like you said, the historical designation and how you work with that. And then the funding, right?
I mean,
that's another big, big issue. But you got some good news between the last meeting last year and this meeting. So talk about that.
Yeah, so we did get some, you know, we got some funds from the city designated some funds out of the capital campaign to start this process. You know, we have to hire an OPM. And an architect, and you know, so we're in the process of doing that. But we just got an earmark from the federal government. Richie Neal got us $3 million.
That's
so
a big deal.
That's a big chunk.
Yeah.
When we get it, we have a I'd say a cost estimate to kind of restore, and it's a pretty early cost estimate, right?
Yep.
From a local architectural firm, and that was around $10 million. Mm. So that's when we started looking, and when we to restore it, to get it ready, is $10 million. Well, what can we do? Actually, what's the best thing we can do for $10 million, mm-hmm. right? Or, you know, $8 million or $50 million? We don't know yet, right? Yeah. We're going to be looking at, and mm-hmm. that's why we hired the OPM. And
and so the OPM is owner's project manager, right?
Correct.
Is what that stands for. Yep. And that's, is that Skanska?
That's Skanska. They did the Taconic project. And
right.
We've all seen what the work that was done there was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go wrong with that. So,
and also it brings that expertise in, right? Where, you know, how do you build a baseball stadium?
Correct.
I don't know. You got to know, but you got to have the people who know.
Yeah. And you have the architect that knows. So that's mm-hmm. the next step, is finding an architectural firm that has experience with baseball stadiums. Because we just don't want any architectural firm that just is, we're not going to be their guinea pig for their baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, bringing in Skanska, they have the expertise to run a project like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us have experience on the committee. Some of us have experience in City Hall, but that's not what we do. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Our day to day is not a $10 to $15 million ballpark project, and how to get those running, and
right.
who to hire when, and what kind of scenario. So we'll take their expertise, and that's what that was. That first money from the city was to find that
mm-hmm.
What we could do with that. So we're off and running.
Yeah,
we met with them last meeting. It was Monday night, so they kind of gave us an overview, and we're moving forward to hire an architect, and there'll be a little subcommittee of our committee to do that. We're hoping to get 3 to 4 bids on that,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll look those over and do some in-person interviews. We hope to have that done by March, right?
Okay.
Have an architecture. Yep. We're on a tight timeline.
And things do take time, right? Each one of these details, and it has to be done in a certain order. You can't skip something. You know, it has to be done. So now you've sort of put the building blocks in place.
Correct.
But there probably will be some anticipation, right? There's a lot of people that just want to see it done.
They want it done now.
things like that do take some time, and it's because of all these little things that need to be put in place first.
Yeah, so three of the slowest things that can happen are government, right, construction, and fundraising. So,
and you got the trifecta.
Yeah, we got the trifecta. So let's, you know, I'm one of those people that want it done right now too, and you know, I think everybody is, but we'll do our due diligence, because this is a once in a lifetime, our lifetime opportunity,
right,
to actually get it right, and we all want to get it right, and the committee is passionate about getting
mm-hmm.
it right. I think we have a good solid committee from around the community, different people, different expertise. You know, some people are passionate about baseball. Some people are passionate about other things happening at the park. Some people want to see some football back at the park.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that was brought up at the meeting, right?
Yep. Yeah. So we want to make sure we get it right. Like, mm-hmm. and we also, my biggest concern is making a park that can sustain the preventative maintenance cost of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what happened, is it shouldn't fall on the taxpayer, right? The park should be able to support itself.
Mm-hmm.
And we want the park to support itself as much as possible. So doing other things besides baseball there is kind of important, in my opinion.
Right.
But, you know.
Well, look at Fenway Park. I mean.
Exactly.
Imagine all the different things that they've been doing there. You know,
mm-hmm.
you think of the Fenway Bowl, which was a college football playoff, and they've done, was it the Ice Classic or whatever it was called there at the.
They do concerts nonstop.
Concerts
they
all
do
the time.
They do comedy there now.
Yeah.
So we hope to do, you know, have things done that can be done at the park that won't jeopardize the play at the park
mm-hmm.
when it really comes down to it. It's baseball. It's a baseball park, and it's meant for baseball. We don't want to have, 15,000 people trample the lawn, and,
sure.
and then the Suns can't play the next day. But if you put the right material in, it can handle all those things, just like at Fenway at a smaller version, right?
So. Yeah. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sarah. I'm here with Earl Persip, a city councilor at large, and the chair of the Wakona Park Restoration Committee, I believe is what it's called.
Yep.
And we're talking Wakona Park and lots of other city issues here this morning. What are some of the other sort of niceties that we would like to have at Wakona Park that, you know, you sort of mentioned the other uses, but
mm-hmm.
when you go to a baseball game, you sort of expect certain, you know, things. You expect some nice concessions, nice bathrooms, you know, maybe a little Hall of Fame thing to walk through or a concourse. I mean, are any of those things in the mix? Or
I think everything's on the table right now. I think one of the first things we all talk about, and we'll, I don't call it an amenity, is being able to park not in a Wakona Lake, right?
I was going to ask about that.
So Wakona Lake is, we have to take care of that first.
And that's kind of an engineering issue, right?
It's an engineering issue. Thing. So, and that's, you know, distribution of rainwater and all that has to, there's certain rules and regulations what you can do with that water. You just can't send it downstream.
Right.
Right.
And not only that, the park borders the Housatonic River.
Correct.
Which is another, it's a conservation issue as well. Yeah. And that's kind of a prickly
subject. There's a lot to be done with the water. And so luckily the city owns the park next door, the playground, and we have a big footprint right in that area. Mm-hmm. So we are working to like look at the big footprint of the whole area. What can be done in that whole area? Now, maybe we won't have the funds for that. But we're thinking big right now. We're thinking, you know, kind of all the things, what we can do. You know, we talk about kind of some of the amenities there, you know, nice bathrooms. Mm-hmm. I mean, the birthplace of baseball should probably have a Hall of Fame at the baseball, you know, some sort of, we've had some great baseball players come to the city of Pittsfield, right? So why not recognize that and celebrate that?
The stories are out there. Whenever you talk to someone who knows a little bit about Wakona Park, they talk to you about the people who have played there. And but they're really just stories until you put them somewhere that people can really appreciate them and take them in. And, you know, I think about taking your kids to a baseball game, and the last thing you want to do is send them to a bathroom. Like, you know, just it's one of those
the
things,
bathroom
right?
there, woo, yeah. it's and tough
that was it. An improvement because the bathrooms have been improved a few years ago.
Yeah, and that one, and it, first of all, I mean, the men's bathroom is kind of tiny, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's a small bathroom. I'm sure the woman's is the same. Yeah,
probably not accessible. Or maybe they are. I don't know.
They have the ramp, but I don't think it qualifies as accessible. I think there's a lip at the door that would unqualify it, really. But I'm not 100% there. But, they're... It's a space issue. I bet you the accessibility of the turnaround probably at the door is not correct.
Right.
So we can get some of those things done right. Some of the concession stands put in spots maybe where you don't have to walk around the whole building to go get a hot dog, right? that might deter people if they're on one of the farther outfield bleachers. So,
and, you know, that's a self-sustaining issue too, right? Because when you got good concessions, a beer garden and all the other things, right, it can make a little bit of money and support itself and support the maintenance that's needed.
Yep.
I think of also offices for the team, because if you're going to attract a team like the Pittsfield Suns, which, God bless them, they have stuck with this, right, and been a long-term tenant there and seem to attract a pretty decent fan base, you know, you want to keep them comfortable and happy as well.
Oh, you don't like the trailer outside?
Trailer?
Trailer outside for the offices?
It's quaint. Quaint is the word.
Yeah. And this league is a good league. I mean, you have Manny Ramirez's son playing in this league. Who else? There was another, Kevin Euclid, was it his son?
There were three or four of them.
Yeah, they all play in this league, right? And so those players choose to go to a certain team on amenities, like the baseball stadium, the locker rooms.
Sure.
So
I think most of them were on Brockton, weren't they?
Yeah, and I think they have a new stadium out there, or a relatively new stadium out there. So that's something to be said. We're getting hot. You know, the Suns are dedicated to Pittsfield and, you know, making this happen too. Mm-hmm. I think a workout facility for the players probably would be beneficial. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, but is that in what in our ballpark of the
so
money?
Speak.
Right. Like so. But right now, everything is on the table right now. Mm-hmm. Like, we understand everything won't happen. Like, we could talk about all kinds of great amenities and things, but, you know, the beer garden, I think, is a must, right?
Yeah.
You know, every time I go to a game there, that place is packed. And I think there's a group of guys down there and girls that are there every single game. And it's just kind of a, they're there every game. Dedicated. They love it.
Yep.
So you never get rid of something like that. I think that's always going to be a Pittsfield thing. I think people like that, being close to that dugout and kind of getting the view of the field from there. I think it's pretty interesting.
Yep.
But, you know, maybe a workout room doesn't happen, right?
Yeah.
You know, they can go to somewhere else. But a nice locker room has to happen.
Right.
I think big enough locker rooms have to happen.
Yep.
A shower area that you can actually shower in.
Because,
I'm telling some of the smells out of there of, of that old building, boy, I could tell you.
If that would only translate on radio.
But yes. We'll take your word for it. I'm sure at some point when we get the community involved, because that's important to me, is actually hearing from community members, because the people on the committee don't have all the answers and we don't have all the ideas.
Right.
Like, there's going to be someone that comes out there and is going to suggest something. We're going to be like, oh, why didn't we think of that? So we're going to hear that. And I think at some point there'll probably be some tours of the, you know, Wakona Park before the project or any project happens, so people can kind of see what's going on. And, you know, that's how you raise money too. There's going to be some fundraising, I think, going to have to happen. It's not going to all come from, you know, the city or the state or the federal government, I think. You know, but take the opportunity to, when we build this thing or renovate this thing, is to create advertising opportunities that work, right? That aren't just a banner on the wall, right? You know, digital advertising boards can do a lot, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you do other events there, you can, that's where the park can really make some money. So I think,
you know, the press box is another thing. And I've been in the press box there many times doing work with PCTV and, you know, always wondered if I was going to make it back down safely.
Exactly.
And, you know, so there are things like that.
And so, yeah. And those
maybe
are
the ordinary, you know, park attendee doesn't see that. But it is, you know, kind of a critical thing. You've got PA announcers. You've got, you know, calling the game for radio or calling the game for streaming. Those are all things that feed into it, too. So,
yeah. And I think, like, especially a press box when things you're talking about streaming things. I think the high school state championship games were there.
Yeah.
You know, we've had some good baseball teams around. And when we do stream these things, other people see what we're working with. And, you know, maybe we want to, we kind of show off what Pittsville can do and will do. So I think, you know, coming with the office is maybe not the most attractive thing to the normal consumer, but something that needs to happen, right? Yeah. We need to have some offices there,
right.
A press box where you don't have to risk your life to get to, right?
And again, it's a special place too. And I know that when high school kids do come and play a baseball game, it used to be football games as well. That was, hey, we're playing under the lights at Wakona Park tonight. This is a big deal, you know? And I think there's a certain, you know, panache to that. I think that's
something
that Pittsfield can be proud of. And I'm sure that that's what this refurbishment of whatever, you know, it ends up taking shape will continue to be.
Yep.
And, you know, you compare it. Obviously, there's going to be some comparisons to some of the other stadiums, right? And, you know, if you want to continue to attract a team here, you know, they have lots of choices sometimes. It's good to be able to say, yeah, but this is in Pittsfield. This is you got to see this. That's kind of, and you know, when you've got a newish stadium, that will be a real attraction.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, the dugouts are another thing. You know, there's all the thing is old, it's been run down and not really taken care of. And yeah, people can criticize the city for not keeping up on the maintenance. Why is it this year? Eventually, the grandstand, no matter what you were doing, I mean, the structure was gonna, and it's a steel structure.
No amount of maintenance was gonna stop
in
that.
In a swamp area that was touched, there was no water barrier.
Yeah.
So that, you know, there's no amount of maintenance that would have prevented that.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe our preventative maintenance was good and it lasted longer than it was supposed to, right?
Well, I mean, maybe the people that built it in the 50s, which I'm sure by now probably none of them are still around, right? So they did their once in a lifetime effort, put the grandstand up after World War II and said, well, this is gonna last a long time. And they were right. It did.
Yeah, it did. It did. So, but yeah, I think Wakona Park, this is going to be a fun thing. I think in the long run, it will be a fun project. It will be a passionate project. I think a lot of people are really going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And there'll be some strong opinions about it, like everything else. But I think we all can almost agree it needs to be done and baseball needs to be in Pittsfield and other things need to happen there. You know, the high school kids, there is something to be said about playing under the lights, even with BCC in the turf field. Wakona Park is still Wakona Park, and PHS Taconic football game under the lights, or a baseball game or a soccer game under the lights is always something special at Wakona Park. So.
Yeah. And there are no other fields in Pittsfield other than obviously the BCC field, which was a great thing to have. I think everybody agrees having a turf field in Pittsfield for, you know, teams to play on, and that figured in prominently during COVID as well, because for a while, all of the Berkshire County teams, just for a very short period of time, had to come to BCC to play. There was soccer and football and stuff. We were covering a bunch of those. So, thank goodness that it was available and that it's got a good capacity for, you know, attendees and lots of parking and all the things, you know, that you kind of want.
Yeah, and as a kid, like, playing a high school sport, you get to play at BCC on the turf, and then it's Wacona Park, and then a couple games at your home, whatever it is. And it's special, right? It makes your experience here as a youth something that I know we didn't have as a youth. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no turf under the lights, right? There's no – Wacona Park was a once, and I think once a year thing at the most, because – the lights cost $1 zillion to turn on at the time.
Right? Yeah.
So it's something special. So hopefully we can get it done and get it done right. Mm-hmm. And then that's the thing too, is we're going to take time. We're not going to rush it just to get it done because we want it done right.
Mm. So what's that timeline look like at this point? And, you know,
Originally we were supposed to give the mayor a report, a recommendation 90 days in. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, she knows that. But I think we'll have some good information and kind of a good working, I'm guessing, end of April, May-ish. We'll be looking at some designs maybe by then, and seeing what we can actually get for, let's say, $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then what $20 million gets us. Mm-hmm. And then what $5 million gets us. And what are we going to do at that point? Are we going to restore? Are we going to do a hybrid? Or are we going to just do all brand new? So,
right.
There's some big decisions still to be made, and I think when we took this on, we could have just thrown out a bunch of ideas and said, hey, this is what we want, but that's not – we want to give a solid recommendation back to the mayor.
Right.
And obviously a strong recommendation.
Funding is going to be a key to that, and luckily you got some superstars at the City Hall, Jim McGrath, I think, Justine Dodds in community development, people who are really have a great track record of getting funding for these major projects that we've done. I think about the Common.
Yep.
I think about, you know, some of the other, removal of the Telelectric Dam. I mean, all the things that have gone on in the city to restore. And so, you know, hopefully that track record can transfer over and we get some of that, because nothing really happens without that. It turns the wheels, right?
Yeah. And then going back to understanding what we can get for Mass Historic and the historic designation,
right?
Because there's grants out there that for that sort of stuff, even if they're small, they do them every year. And there's all kinds of things that we need to look at. So it's going to be a process. So a timeline, you know, our ultimate goal would be something there for playing, you know, 2025, I think. Right, if we were to like speed this along and actually get it done right.
So Pittsfield Suns fans, you have to deal with the temporary bleachers for a couple more seasons.
Think so. If we want to do, I mean, we could take the $3 million and maybe secure the bleachers or rebuild those and then be done. But that's
kind of a band-aid.
Yeah, that's just one fix of many problems there at the park. And you know, if we were to fix the whole park, I think that's what the estimate was, around $10 million, right? Like, to fix all the rotting structure.
Mm.
That's not what we really want to do.
Yeah.
We want to do it right. Mm-hmm. So that's our goal.
Yeah. Speaking with Earl Persip, he is the councilor at large, one of four councilors at large of the city of Pittsfield on the city council. And I hope I pronounced your name right. I always say it one way, and there's two ways to say your name. I usually get it wrong.
You know, no, I think it's funny because I only hear it when certain people do it.
Yeah.
And our city clerk does it a lot, and I always tell her that. But no, it's just Persip.
Okay, got it.
It's just like how it's spelled. So it's, I think there is two ways. I don't hear it usually.
Yeah.
Unless someone really botches it, I feel like. That's the only time I really notice it.
Usually when I'm waiting for my food pickup or something and someone tries to pronounce my name, I have to have a panoply of different names. Would that be me? That is me. I think they just said my name. Yeah.
And I don't pronounce name. I am terrible at pronouncing name. Oh my God. Some of my friends make fun of me so bad. It's hilarious, but I am not good. So I don't really judge anybody else if they mispronounce mine.
All right, Earl Persip, we appreciate you being here this morning, and this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. We'll be right back after this. We're going to be getting into some other city issues in the second half of the program, and of course, we'll go back to Jacob Klein's weather forecast one more time before we get back to our conversation. So stick around. It's the top of the hour, 8 o'clock here on Morning Drive, Thursday, January 12th. You've made it to Thursday, and we will be back in just a moment, so stick around.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
WTBRFM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
For over four decades, Berkshire AHEC has been serving the health education needs of Berkshire County. We offer Massachusetts food allergen training, the Berkshire AHEC Health Scholars Program at BCC, medical interpreter training, and the Tobacco-Free Community Partnership. For more information, visit our website, berkshireahec.org, or call us at 413-842-5160. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Tired of the same old on the radio?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's all the same day.
Hi, I'm Hannah. Each week I search the archives for hidden gems from your favorite artists, plus all the latest releases and rock trivia. Please join me for Deep Cuts, Thursdays, 4 to 6, at 89.7 WTBR-FM.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you on a Thursday morning, Thursday the 12th of January. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, a little bit of snow and sleet out there this morning. Roads seem really, really good. And just watch your walkways and your stairs and your steps. Maybe a little slippery when you first come out. We'll get back to our interview with Earl Persip just a minute. Let's go to the weather forecast from Jacob Klein and see what is in store for us for the rest of today and maybe a little bit of tomorrow. Take it away, Jacob.
Here is your WTBR forecast from BerkshireWeather.com for Thursday, January 12th. Greetings. Today, cloudy. A high of 39 with some rain and snow. Tonight, cloudy. A low of 38 with rain. Tomorrow, cloudy. A high of 51 with some rain. That's your latest WTBR forecast. For more weather forecasts and education, go to BerkshireWeather.com. I'm Jacob Klein for WTBR, and I hope you all have an amazing day. Cheers, everyone.
All right. Thank you, Jacob. We appreciate that. And yes, snow and then rain. And the beat goes on, as they say, in weather. So we're back here on Morning Drive at 8:04 in the morning, and Earl Persip, the city councilor at large here with us. Thanks again for being here this morning.
Thank you.
And speaking of rain and snow, we got to get into it because I think that since the last time I've had you on the show, we haven't talked about this issue. Obviously, the big, you know, day before Christmas Eve snow event that everyone is talking about. There's always something everyone's talking about, and that seems to be it right now.
Did you know we had bike lanes?
I did know that we had bike lanes and newly restored gym floors, as a matter of fact. But yeah, just as a little recap. Yeah, so here we are, and we anyone who's driving out on the 23rd or the 24th knows sort of what the conditions of the roads were in Pittsfield. You know, the opinions vary as Patrick Swayze said in Roadhouse. So
love that movie.
Yeah, it's great. Opinions vary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know, objectively speaking, it was not a great situation. Is that
it was terrible
to say?
It was terrible. Yeah. It was absolutely terrible. There's nothing more to say.
Yeah.
It was terrible the 23rd. It was terrible the 24th. It was terrible the 25th,
right.
26th, and 27th.
Yeah.
Right. We cannot. I said this in the meeting with, you know, Public Works and the mayor. We all have to agree this was unacceptable and terrible and move forward. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to figure out what happened, why, right?
Sure.
And it can never happen again. I mean, the fact the night of the storm, when the storm's happening, agreed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, fine. You know, we can only do. But the next few days, it was unsafe. Mm-hmm. It was unacceptable. It was terrible. I don't know a better way to say it. Yeah. Was absolutely terrible, right?
So impacting that, obviously, of course, is the holiday season where everyone's trying to get somewhere, doing their last-minute chores,
and
right?
Then
getting to family you know, dinners and things like that.
And some people, for the first time in 2 years, were going to see family,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes during that time period, people who don't drive a lot, let's say.
Correct.
Also.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Complicating.
It was complicated. Mm-hmm. You know, I have certain opinions. I, you know, my day job helps me understand it, I think, a little better than most, mm-hmm. just because I deal with this kind of stuff. And I know people have said, and I disagree with this, is this what this was predicted. This was predicted. Mm-hmm. This what happened that night was not predicted. What was predicted was according to 2 inches.
Right.
Over the time, but what was
and
predicted
big
was
big drop in temperature. Right?
Big drop in temperature. Yeah. That's what happened. And
yeah.
The big drop in temperature, it didn't drop as fast as they first predicted. Mm. So that's where my kind of gripe is we should have had Sanders out at 3 o'clock, maybe even 2 o'clock, because it was supposed to be like rain. If you looked, it was going to be rain. Mm. Like, and so that rain was going to turn to freezing rain and then black ice.
Yeah.
That was my opinion, thinking of what was going to happen, because we were having the light show up at work. And so we canceled on that prediction, not because of the snow.
Mm.
So
a freezing rain is something that's really hard to deal with. We didn't have it during this.
We didn't have it during this, but the temperature drop. So I think Salters went out too late. And some, you know, the opinion of Public Works was, it was raining and we didn't want it to wash away.
Mm.
I'm not buying that, right?
Mm.
I think there was just some mistakes made, and that's fine.
Yep.
You're right. Like, everyone, mistakes can be made,
sure,
but we need to fix them. That's the thing, is don't let it happen again. Is like, people make mistakes. We're all human, right?
Yep.
We could have been looking at 2 different weather apps or channels or whatever, because they were all predicting different things, and they haven't got one storm right this year. Right?
No, there have been actually the 3 that I can think of. The first one was what I called an out or overperformer, right? Where
yes.
it was supposed to be a couple 3 inches tops, and we got like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And then the next one was supposed to be this big storm that kind of fizzled and
didn't
get anything. And then the third one
and
was this. You know, very unusual event where you've got tons of rain, then the sleety snow stuff, and then the quick temperature drop.
And probably the busiest drive day of the year, I would bet, around the Friday before the holiday. At the time, people coming home from work, people going out shopping who had the day off, people, you know, going to family. So it tough conditions,
right.
Agreed.
And, you know, I don't profess to be an expert in any of this, although it seems that there are many experts out there now that have come out of the woodwork to tell us how this all happened and how it works and how it should work. So, you know, I guess that's just human nature to a certain extent. But the roads did stay pretty poor for several days after. And generally speaking, what's that due to? Is because you would think, okay, fine,
so
just
soon
get
as,
the plows out, but you couldn't,
so
right?
As soon as you get the ice pack on the roads, it's almost impossible to get it. The plow can't scrape it.
Mm-hmm. And it stayed cold.
Yeah. You could get a backhoe out there and backdrag and scrape each, but that would take you, it would take you a year before that, but you'd get that done. But yeah, as soon as the ice pack's down, mm-hmm. you lost it. It's lost until the weather warms up.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily it's crazy weather.
Right.
It ended up being in the 50s the following week.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what saved us, was the temperature's finally rising, and getting it down. But as soon as you lose it like that in the ice pack, it's over.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yep.
You know, some of the mistakes we made, and I think everybody can agree, like no code red call out.
Mm.
I mean, we code red for a water main break.
Mm-hmm.
We code red for parking at the parade. We code red. We should have code red.
Mm.
There should have been a snow emergency called. I think everybody agrees those mistakes were made.
Mm. And those are the kinds of things that would come out in some sort of a postmortem, right? Where you say, okay, look, what happened?
Yep.
What could be done better? What are we going to change in our policy to make this,
and,
you know, better?
And this is what these conditions call for this, mm-hmm. right? And it's just whatever those conditions happen, it just automatically happens. And it takes a storm like this to kind of like look at your operations and kind of how you do things. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to learn from this. I think people will really be angry if it happens again.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
If we're not prepared to deal with this again.
Mm-hmm.
I did put a petition in to look, because one of the comments back from the commissioner, as we're, I'm texting him, calling him on the 24th and the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't have the temperature's too low. We need magnesium chloride. We should have pre-treated with magnesium chloride. We don't have that equipment, and some people tell me we do have that equipment. So let's figure out what we need.
Yeah, what we have. What's the cost of it?
Mm-hmm. That's now part of the report.
Yeah, let's step back for a minute on magnesium chloride, because that's something that has come up a few times.
Yep.
And maybe just from what you know about it, help people understand why would that make things
better? It keeps so you can pre-treat up to, I believe, 24 hours.
Mm.
So you could have pre-treated on the 22nd. You lay that down.
Even with the rain,
you can, it keeps the road temperature up enough where you won't get that ice pack. It's what the state, you know, what everyone's like, well, why is the state road so blacktop all the time?
Because
they throw that stuff down like nobody's business, right? Your tax dollars at work in the state roads, they throw magnesium, they pre-treat everything. As soon as there's a call, if there's a call for a storm tomorrow, they're probably pre-treating today or early, way before the storm tomorrow, because it lasts that long.
Okay.
And
is it expensive? Is that the
everything's expensive nowadays,
or
right?
Or more expensive than
it is more. It is more. Anytime you get into calcium chloride, magnesium chloride, that stuff gets especially pretty pricey. Mm. We use calcium chloride where I work, and a bag last year went from $16 to $28, right? For an example, and that's just a bag.
Now, is that the stuff that looks like little the white pellets?
So they have pellets and flakes, and then you can get a salt mixture. That's a little cheaper. You're probably paying, you know, $20 a bag for that at Car Hardware or somewhere.
Mm.
But yeah, there's all kinds of things. There's brine out there, which is a mixture of like they basically, it's like salt water almost.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of options, and I think we should know the options.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I was talking with the commissioner and the mayor, I said, you know, weather is getting very unpredictable, and we should be ready to pivot at any moment, especially when it comes to safety, right?
Yeah.
This is a safety issue, it's a safety issue. There's going to be people on the roads no matter what.
Right.
You call a snow emergency, you do anything, you're going to have people on the roads.
Yep.
So the safer we can make them. And I know people, you know, people go out during storms and they know the risk, but we should have the roads the best we can for that, right? And
there's a certain amount of responsibility that comes with individuals driving as well, too, right? I mean,
absolutely.
We have to throw that in the mix. So the roads can't always be 100% perfect. They can be better than they were, I'm sure, you know, on December 23rd. But the idea is, you know, you can look out your window and hear the weather forecast and say, I don't think I'm going to drive tonight, or I'm going to maybe stay in and I'll change my plans, because that's within your control to do until things settle down a little, right?
Yep. I mean, in this last storm, people were already at work.
But that's the problem. They
had to go home. You got to go home.
Yep.
And so that was part of the problem at this storm. But I think for most places, you know, we have to be able to get fire trucks to a fire or a medical emergency, ambulances, police officers.
Yep.
So that's part of it, too, I think. But we have to have options.
Yeah.
And I think having options is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing saying we have to do what the state does and pre-treat before every storm. But if we know temperatures are going to drop or temperatures are low and we can't use salt, we should have an option to be able to at least get the mains opened up. And safe.
Right.
Right.
You got to have the tools to do it, too.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so I think most people's biggest, you know, most people are fine when they know what happens on the side roads, right? We all kind of know their last. But when you're driving, you're coming off your side road And then you get onto like Elm, Williams, North, South Street, and they're probably worse than the sides.
Yeah.
People are like, what the heck is going on? Right, so we can't have that. And that's where ambulances, fire trucks, police officers need to get there too, and usually at a high rate of speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that slows them down, and that could, you know, be a life or death situation for somebody.
Well, and I think the evidence of this particular storm that's really hard to ignore is the number of accidents that happened, right? I mean, very high number compared to what you might expect in a normal snow. I mean, bad snowstorms, you expect some accidents, right? It's going to happen no matter what. But it seemed like, and there were some clustered also around that East Street and Newell Street area. That's very interesting.
I can tell you, right? I live up off of Williams. And the William Street Hill going up to Dalton. I saw 7 accidents. Mm. I was sending pictures to the commissioner. Mm.
And these were car-to-car accidents or
car
off the road?
Car-to-car accidents. Yeah. People were going up and coming down, sliding into things, into each other.
Yep.
Because there was 3 different times there was police officers there. I have the pictures. I was sending the pictures New Year's Eve night to the commissioner. Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. So that was a cluster. And I'm assuming every cluster was hills usually. The Newell Street one is that little incline that I think it was really slick. And I think people don't expect it to be the way it was because it's not that big of a hill. I think when people go to the hill, they kind of know or avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
That little, I mean, I have a picture from there too. Trust me, I got 3 or 4 from 3 or 4 different people. Of just the traffic backed up because of there were so many accidents all throughout the day, basically.
Yeah. And it does, you know, go to the fact that, even driving here this morning, even though the roads were all good, when I see that snow come down or I see it on my deck or on the walkway, I immediately change the way that I drive and the way I brake, right?
Oh, yeah.
So when you're coming to an intersection, you're not going to just go full and then hit your brake at the end. You're going to maybe hit it a little and test your tires, see if everything's okay by the time you get in. That's just, you know, defensive driving 101.
Yeah, I think, you know, this storm was unique and the conditions were unique. And it's still, like I said, unacceptable. Yeah. There's no reason to make excuses, and I told Ricardo, I said, you're the boss. You take the brunt of this, because ultimately you're the person responsible. And then it goes up to the mayor, and then there's some city council. You know, we're responsible for giving you the funds you need for the tools you need.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it would be interesting in the report. I mean, I was out. I plow for a friend of mine. I was out that the 23rd from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m.
and describe that experience a little bit. What's that like sitting in that truck?
Oh, it's tiring. Oh boy, it's so tiring. It's funny. It's interesting. I enjoy doing it. It's a little, you know, side thing I do. I enjoy it when they need help. I help them. I will tell you, when I was out, I drove all across the city and was just clearing things for them. So they were sending me everywhere. Wherever they needed help, they were just call them up. I went all around the city, probably every corridor except Outer West Street, right? I was through that whole time. I did not see a plow truck.
Hmm.
So that disturbs me. Mm-hmm. Like, I just didn't see it. Now, maybe it's timing.
Right.
But usually on my drive here, I seen 2 sanding and salting.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, on that following Tuesday, I brought my kids to daycare. Saw 4 that day. So it's weird to me that I didn't see them. So, but we do have GPS, and we're going to wait for those reports. Mm. We're going to see what time they were out, where they were at, and we're going to see how much material they dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what we're waiting for.
Yeah. And you can't really make any hard decisions until you have that information. You get a report, and you find out what happened and then what you could change.
And there's only so much city council can do. Like, right? Like, we're the legislative branch. Mm-hmm. There's only so many things we can do. But I think, I know a lot of us were kind of talking during the storm. Have you heard of this or this street and this? And we were trying, you know, we were out there. Your counselors were hard at work. I can tell you that. You're all your counselors. And I would say probably all 11 of us were hard at work trying to get things done. I had talked to a handful of people that night just dealing with certain areas. Like you said, there were certain areas that were dealing with, you know, calling the commissioner, calling for salt trucks, sand trucks, at certain areas, and your counselors were hard at work. I can tell you that. And I'm sure the plow guys were hard at work. I'm not saying they weren't. Yeah. I'm just saying, I think the attack of the storm wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm proven wrong. Right.
Yep.
But I didn't see the next couple days after the storm. I was in Lenox where I work. I was in Lee. I was in Cheshire and Adams. Mm-hmm. I drove down side roads. I seen things. They were in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened here.
Yep.
And we will have to figure it out. We will figure it out, and we'll make it better.
Yep. And we've got that report for people who are interested in how that comes out. That'll be on the 24th of January at the City Council meeting. And so, obviously, anyone interested in knowing a little bit more about that. And, you know, people watching and being engaged as citizens is a good thing, no matter what. Obviously, complaints can be hard to hear, and it's difficult being in that line of fire sometimes because you're, you know, trying to do the right thing. As a city councilor or as a commissioner of public utilities, you're all trying to do, you know, what's right for the city, and things happen. So it's just a matter of, okay, well, what do we do? What do we do with this information?
Yeah. And I think this information, I think the best thing we can do with this information is make whatever comes of this is make our attack on snowstorms better and give us more options.
Amid the changing climate conditions, too, right?
Like, let's talk about this. We shouldn't. The weather shouldn't drop to a certain temperature so fast where we can't handle getting the snow and ice up from the roads.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line. So how do we do that? What did we do wrong? There's things we did wrong. I would assume there's things we're gonna know. Oh, we should have done this and this. Mm-hmm. There's things we've done wrong. There's a lot of experienced people out there. The mayor did. She's having a former DPW commissioner from another town look at the procedures and what was done to get a report from that person to understand, you know, an outside view of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good. Mm-hmm. So we should have a lot of information at this point, and then as a council, we can decide to, you know, do what we can as a legislative branch to fix it.
Yeah. Now there was also some debate at the last council meeting from a particular councilor who wanted to put a petition in to make sure that Pittsfield doesn't spend any additional money on things like magnesium chloride. A little bit of a head scratcher there because we're trying to get to what could solve issues, right? But that seemed like more of a...
Well, that counselor knows it all.
Tax issue.
If you ask him, he knows it all. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, he the first petition was to combat my petition, but my rebuttal to that is you didn't know my petition was on the agenda when you filed yours because they came out at the same time.
Mm.
It's not like you filed this a week after you seen my petition. So that's a bunch of baloney, right? To be honest. And what if that's the solution of what our problem was? We're just going to say no to that?
Hmm.
We don't know. We don't have enough information yet.
Right.
And that was the thing on my petition, wasn't to spend money, just spend money right away. It was asking what's going to be the cost to do this, because this is what the commissioner was telling us he needed, right? So if we're asking for a report of information, this is adding to that report.
Hmm.
That's getting more information. Having more information is not a bad thing, right? And if it cost us money, a small amount, to make roads safer and turn 70 accidents into zero, I'm okay with that, right?
And what were the things that you mentioned at the meeting that people expect for their tax dollars? I mean, this is the thing.
It becomes fire.
Mm-hmm.
They want a fire truck to show up when they call it.
Yeah.
They want a police officer to show up. They want their roads plowed, and they want their potholes filled, right?
Yep.
Those are, like, the top things. As doing this my third term, those are the things we hear the most about.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to tax, setting the tax rate, zero people spoke at open mic.
Mm.
Zero people. Might have got two emails,
mm-hmm.
right? Might have.
This was in November?
This was in November. Mm-hmm. But you know what I get constantly? Roads not plowed. Potholes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fire trucks show up. We do a very good job. Fire department, police department, they're going to be there within 2 minutes, I think it is. You know, 2 minutes and some change.
Mm-hmm.
So, if that wasn't the case, we'd hear about that.
Right.
People want certain things for their tax dollars. And yes, no one wants to pay more tax, property tax. I understand that. I'm not that point is not deaf to me.
Right.
But people want a certain thing, and I think a lot of the complaints we're hearing is because, hey, my tax bill went up, and I'm getting bad services. The services I really care about, right? Yeah.
So they can't do both. They'll pay the taxes, but they want the services. Or
majority of people, and some people are just going to complain no matter what the bill is, right? And then some people are never going to complain because it doesn't affect them or they don't care, and the increase is not that detrimental to them. Mm. You know, you have a variety of things, but I think all those people want a pothole filled, right, correctly, and they want their road plowed.
Yeah, and this year, I mean, that's another issue, and we're kind of winding down our interview here this morning on Morning Drive, but some people did get their tax bills this year and did get a bit of a shock from what they had expected. So, you know, what do you relate that to? Is that property values rising more than expected?
First and foremost, I will say this. It's not just Pittsfield. It's not Berkshire County. The state had sent out an email to all of the councilors basically explaining, like, this is a problem all over, you know, and it's property values. And I think COVID was part of that. Property values raised about 13%. I think if my math is correct, 12 or 13%, because of the market. Mm-hmm. We don't control the market. We don't control what people are paying for homes. And in that crazy market.
Mm. And last year was really a revaluation year.
Year. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that happen. So as soon as the market goes crazy, like it was, it's coming back down to earth a little bit, but it's still up there. People were paying ridiculous amounts for homes. And that unfortunately affects everybody.
Right.
Right. Yeah. COVID really, in many ways, with inflation and, you know, it's hurt us all. Mm. We all understand.
If a taxpayer has, a bill that they think is maybe higher than it should be, do they have recourse?
They can file an abatement. They can go to the assessor's office, and there's many ways. Like, you know, if they have your home assessed with a deck, let's say that you don't have anymore, or this or that, they have you assessed. You know, you look at your assessment.
Mm.
If they have you as a 3-bedroom and you have a 2-bedroom, that changes that. Mm-hmm. Some of the older folks, there's other programs out there that you can file for abatement and get a relief. Mm-hmm. So, you know, call the assessor's office. They're great in there. They will help you if there's some recourse for you. But a lot of it, mostly it's because of the market. You know, the budget did go up a little bit, but those are things. The budget mainly went up because of costs the community called for, right?
And not to mention inflation costs and when everything costs more for us, it also costs more to run the city.
Yep. And the plow truck, putting the gas in the plow truck costs more. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But there's inflation there, and then, you know, property values there's small increases in the budget that were, you know, staff related, but they were staff that the community was calling for, the social workers and, you know, things like that.
Right.
So I think we did a good job with the budget. Some people say, well, you didn't cut enough. Like, It's the goal is not to cut everything just because the mayor puts it in front of us. We cut because it's not needed or not necessary or excessive.
Right.
And I necessarily don't think that some of that stuff was.
So. And not only that, this past year, cutting wasn't really the theme of the budget. There were,
we were adding.
Some significant things were added because of demands from the population.
Yeah,
from
and counselors that are complaining about the tax rate were counselors who recommended increases also.
Yeah.
So
what did you make of the, in the 30 seconds we got left, of the free cash request to transfer those?
Shocked at the number was free cash. I'll say $7.8 million of that was from Eversource for their back taxes. And I would have take credit for that because I told, convinced my counselors not to improve some of the work they wanted done until they paid what they owed, because they want their money when the bill comes.
They certainly do, and that was a long-standing issue for sure. Earl Persip, thank you so much for being here this morning on Morning Drive. Always a great conversation. Have you back soon, I hope.
Yep.
And it's snowing out as I look out the window. That seems appropriate. All right, folks, have a great day, and I hope you enjoyed the interview with Earl, and we will be back tomorrow with another great episode of Morning Drive. Thanks. Take care.